want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and normally I have Golfer Gal alongside to talk about, you know, the golf industry as a whole, but she is cleaning the tour van as we speak, as we head to Ohio this weekend, and I decided I wanted to get a special guest that we've been talking about, and that is Harry Arnett from Callaway Golf. Now, some may recognize the name, some may not. If you're not, you might want to follow him on Twitter. He's pretty unfiltered on there and pretty interesting at times. And to start with, welcome to the show, Harry. How are you?
Thanks. Pretty interesting at times. Wow, that's really good intro.
It's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, I try to be. It's good to be here. Yeah, I'm sorry to miss Golfer Gal, but and I think you're enforcing gender stereotypes by making her clean out the tour van.
The truth is she's sitting in the other room waiting for me to clean out the tour van when this is over.
Yeah, exactly. So, sadly, if it's anything like how it rolls in my house, I know exactly what's going on there.
Now, the people who know about you know you've made a shift to Callaway Golf recently. The people who maybe aren't paying as close attention as some of our listeners and readers, tell us about your background and how you ended up at Callaway.
I'll go way back. I was born in 1970. I'm just kidding. I got to golf about 8 years ago. Started at TaylorMade, actually, and had a bunch of different roles there through kind of marketing, product management. Even had worked on the Adidas and Ashworth business for a while. That's kind of the way that you know works on the commercial side over there, is you ping pong around. I've been at Callaway now since, for all intents and purposes, since July 1st, as the senior VP of marketing here. So responsible for all of the marketing activities as it relates to brand marketing and communication. So I'm not responsible for exactly the product that gets created. That's another entity here, but I'm, you know, intimately involved in how we bring those products to market, when we bring them to market, and how consumers experience the new Callaway for 2013 and beyond.
Now, the number one question everybody wants to know is, do you know Justin Timberlake? No, I kid.
I kid.
The number one question that I really want to know, and, you know, I'm putting this out on our site for everybody to hear, but truthfully, this is a discussion I've wanted to have with you for a while. Leading off with that is, what do you think of the golf industry as a whole right now? Do you look at it and say innovation is truly there, or do you look at it and say it's marketing gone crazy?
A little bit of both, actually. Absolutely, innovation is still there. And our goal for sure in next year, and we can talk about this as we talk a little more specific to Callaway, is we believe that we have, it's more than a belief, we have the biggest R&D resources and group in golf. And we still think, from Chip Brewer, my boss, our CEO, all the way down to the lady that answers the phone in the reception area, that there's still performance to be had and performance to be gained for golfers. And in some categories, that performance becomes more nuanced than others. So if you think of tour ball category, for example, you know, there's no tour ball based on what the USGA can limit that can give you 20, 25 yards, extra yards. It's not possible to bring that to the market, you know, in that kind of way. Now, there are ways to make performance and innovation more nuanced for players that understand the difference. You know, the average person hitting a $45 or $50 tour ball is, you know, the differences among them might seem negligible. But in other categories like drivers and irons, wedges, putters, for sure, absolutely there's performance to be had. And, you know, so that's kind of the one answer to your question. Definitely. There's definitely innovation. There's definitely things that are going to help golfers play better golf, in 2013 and, you know, beyond. But yeah, I mean, the marketing certainly in golf has gotten more outrageous, has gotten more attention grabbing. I would say that it's even gotten somewhat formulaic. And so I think there's definitely that going on in the marketplace for sure of people out there that are making bold, outrageous claims to get attention, to draw people into the golf stores and try products out. And I would say that's not a bad thing. If we're all getting golfers excited to try the new equipment, then that's good for everybody. And, you know, there's always going to be the agnostic folks out there that feel like it's just marketing. And there's probably some truth to that. But, you know, at the end of the day, our job, your job is in, you know, all of our jobs that are in this game, whether it's tour players or tournament committees or country clubs or anybody that's connected to the game, is to inspire and get golfers excited about spending money in our sport, which they really don't have to.
Now, when people talk of innovation and marketing, one of the things we talk about are different companies. And while I won't ask for a synopsis of your opinion on each company, because I don't think that's fair, and I think you would not appreciate me giving that answer, I will ask you for one description. And that is, what is your description of Callaway Golf if you were to capsule it for the last 5 years before you got there?
Well, I think we've been missing the point, frankly, in terms of our marketing, certainly in the last 4 or 5 years. And I think, you know, you brought up Justin Timberlake, for example, that we were a company that was a lot more interested and intrigued and committed to building the Callaway brand in sort of a classic consumer packaged goods sense of, you know, investing heavily in the brand and having those brand attributes cascade among all of the products that are under the Callaway umbrella. Versus, I think, our new direction, and certainly the direction that Chip and I and our group here now feels like is the best recipe, which is really, at the end of the day, we have to be a product company. And so, you know, if you think of the phrase for us, which is to be the leader in total premium performance for passionate golfers, which is just, those are just words. How that manifests itself is we're going to be a lot more interested next year and a lot more dedicated into creating incredibly innovative, high performing products, fewer of them, frankly, than we are necessarily in trying to tell a story or create a brand identity that's separate from the product. So we believe, you know, firmly that that the way that we're going to regain momentum with the Callaway brand is going to be doing it by launching awesome products that golfers are really wanting to put in their bag. Specifically, that nobody goes into a golf store and says, you know, I want to see the new family of Callaway, you know, products, or the new range of Callaway products. They may say that on the bulletin boards. They may say that just, you know, in passing. But when push comes to shove, people go into golf stores to buy golf products. And so, you know, very simply put, we're going to be a lot more focused in 2013 with launching products that have clear and direct and simple messaging, and, you know, really calling out and illustrating our distinctive performance advantage in each of those products versus sort of what you would have seen this year, where in some of our, you know, our campaigns per se, our advertising campaigns, where we were trying to create more of an umbrella brand image that we felt like could cascade across all of our products. So in essence, we're inverting that model. So when people think about Callaway in 2013, we want them to be thinking about very specific products that do very specific things, and, you know, have our messaging and our positioning be very direct and simple with a strong, authentic, competitive voice. And I know that sounds like not that big a deal, but that's 180 degrees from strategically from where we've been in the past.
Now, you touched on a little bit in that answer that is going to lead me to another question that really wasn't something I was thinking about. But, I spend my days and nights thinking about the industry versus the equipment.
Yeah.
And not that they're different, but in my mind, you know, what a company is looking for, what a consumer is looking for. And, you know, I create theories. I probably have an aluminum foil hat on half the time. But over the last 2 years, I thought that your line of irons was an incredibly well-done line of irons, meaning Callaway, despite you coming there at the end. But there were 6 to 8 products in that same line.
Yeah.
Do you, as a person on the inside,
We had Razor for everybody, and they're all called the same thing. How are we doing?
Well, that's pretty much my question.
What's the question in there?
What do you think? Do you think it becomes overkill?
Oh, I don't know if overkill is the right word. I would say incredibly confusing, and really not putting, you know. So that's a great representation or example of what I was talking about before, of having our marketing and frankly our product creation model be sort of 180 degrees of where I feel like we should be, because we had really six really, really good products. I mean, industry leading in many, many cases. But we were trying to build the Razor brand in irons. And at the end of the day, you, me, the consumer, retailers didn't have a way of explaining or articulating which was the right iron. And so, in essence, this is coming out in my new 2-page marketing book that we're creating. I'm joking. But it's, in essence, consumers need to know, what are you selling? So what exactly is it that we're selling? And so, you know, next year, we're going to be a lot more simple and a lot more focused around the concept. When you walk into Callaway, area in any retailer in the iron category specifically, it's going to be a lot cleaner and a lot simpler and a lot more easy to understand what we're trying to do and what's the right iron that you need to be buying.
Now, to expand on that, I have a question.
Yeah.
And I think I'm right. And again, this goes back to my aluminum foil hat. Do you believe that this is part of the reason, the identity that's come out with creating the Razor brand, so to speak, is in going back to trying to recreate the Big Bertha as having a name that's a household name?
With Razor?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's the goal for anybody that, you know, in a consumer oriented industry where, you know, where the fundamentals are marketing and innovation. And that's certainly where we are. You know, the what grows the business in golf is definitely, you know, innovation and marketing. And you know, I make no mistake about that you look for products that have a name that resonates. And you know, we certainly haven't had that in a while. And that doesn't mean the name has to be catchy. It doesn't mean it needs to be cartoonish. It doesn't mean to be necessarily polarizing. But you definitely have to have the naming has to be memorable. The naming has to be, you know, fairly descriptive. And, you know, the products that are under that name have to pay off the story you're telling. That's key. And when you have those kind of, you know, when you have those three things, those three circles. So if you take, okay, the product looks awesome and different, it performs, you know, better than anyone else. And then it's, you know, it has clear, cool marketing and name associated with it. Those three circles, like right in the middle, when you can do that, then you've got a home run. Big Bertha is probably the best example of that in the history of golf. And that's a name, that's a franchise that had lasted for, you know, more than a decade. It stood for distance and performance, had a cool name, and was marketed interestingly and differently.
We've had this conversation myself with other people in the past. I think names of drivers that used to be cool, the Judge, the Tommy Gun, things like that,
yeah,
have gone away. And instead we're replaced with 97638, you know, D. And it's nice to hear that there can be a story told. Now, I've talked about how I think innovation in golf from a company standpoint is different than from a consumer standpoint in certain ways. because the goals are different. You know, obviously a company is there to create innovation that will help a golfer, but the end all is to sell products. Now, I've made the argument that I thought the biggest innovation from the company side in the last 10 years was making a product by a company that was more visible on TV, so as soon as somebody used it, they knew what it was.
Yeah.
Can that be argued in any way whatsoever, that that's the biggest innovation of golf, and it can be attributed to nothing more than color?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that was a big part of that story, definitely. And, you know, I think...
And is that sad, I should say?
Well, that's what it became. I think there's more, there's definitely a performance story that it was underneath the fact that it looked different and it looked pleasing and it was cool and you had tour players playing it, and that's important as well. But, I think it's more of a sign of the marketing times, frankly, that the lead of that became color versus, you know, the true performance that was underneath it. And if people are looking, you know, looking through the magnifying glass of what the technology actually does, that would be kind of my two cents on this thing is, you know, don't get caught up in technology or cosmetics or fashion for fashion, technology, and cosmetic sense if it's not truly helping you perform better. And that's easier said than done because, you know, people want to buy new things. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that particular, you know, the particular product from TaylorMade became more of a color story and probably is more of a color story. And that'll be their challenge going forward is how does it not become a color story or anybody else, whether it's U-Design that, you know, we launched last year that was about color is, and we talk about that all the time, Josh, here is it can't be about color. It cannot be about color because anybody can put a different color on a golf club, you know, these days. And it has to be about performance. And so, that's kind of where we are is we don't want anybody to mistake the fact that we're about performance, and hopefully we'll have products that look different and like, you know, U-Design or some of the other products we have coming out. But at the end of the day, our goal here is to help passionate golfers perform better. And, you know, we think that cosmetics and the way it looks has something to do with that, but it definitely needs the golf ball needs to know that something different is happening to it.
Now,
when you ask a golf ball, have you ever asked a golf ball?
I do it almost every time I tee off.
Yes. When you ask the golf ball, is something different happening to you now than it did before? The answer from that golf ball has to be yes. Many golf balls are, you know, tough to understand.
Well, I put them on the couch and go through a whole psychotherapy session, so it's a little different. Now, we touched on products used on tour, and I've long said that the slogan most used on tour can sell more equipment, hard goods or soft, than just about anything in the world. People watch TV. They want to emulate what the guys do on TV, even though, in my opinion, they're playing a different game than just about anybody else. How can a company overcome that hurdle, even if they have the best equipment in the world, that can they overcome that phrase?
Well, I think they can. I mean, I think that you have to. The answer isn't total numbers, but I personally believe if you can't get your product validated and desired and into the bags of the best players in the world, I don't see how you become a viable golf company. And there are many ways to do that. You know, the first way is the easiest way, or the most direct way, and that's just that you spend more money to pay players to play it. And that's, you know, certainly a model that a few companies go after. The second way is that you kind of pick your spots to dedicate into, you know, really making the very, very best product and getting players to jump over. And they're kind of the in between is a little of both. And that's where we are today. So, you know, if you look next year, we're going to have significantly more visibility on tour, you know, younger, fresher faces in the Callaway brand. So different people and a lot more of them. We won't have this. We won't have the numbers that, you know, Titleist or TaylorMade is going to have on tour. We're just not, but, because of that first model I mentioned, but we will definitely have more visibility on tour. So when people, are watching on TV, they'll see us, you know, in, they'll see us on TV a lot more often on all of the global tours next year. And I don't think it's possible for upstarts to enter into the golf space as easily as they did 20, 25 years ago when that wasn't as much of it. People are paying a lot of attention to the tour. There are a lot more ways to access the tour now than ever before, whether it's social media or digital, to kind of follow and see what's going on. And, you know, we here firmly, like I said, believe that, you know, number one is to get products into the hands of the best players.
Now, we're talking about the best players in the world, and if numbers are not, if sheer numbers are not the end all be all solution, how many guys out there do you think really move the needle in terms of equipment off the shelves?
Oh, specific, like which?
Well, you don't have to give me names.
How many actual players, you know, yeah. Not by name, but how many guys could there literally be out there that could entice someone to buy something?
I actually think the number's less than 10.
Yeah, I think there's – I agree with you. I think there may be two or three. I happen to think we have one of them.
You do.
In Mickelson. But I don't – you know, I think the number's closer to 3 or 4 than it is 40. People just aren't. I mean, look at you know, for years and years and years, golf had – the most dynamic, most charismatic, most visible athlete in the world playing our sport, and that particular player, and we all know who he is, didn't help his company move golf product.
Hard goods.
Or move hard goods, exactly. So, you know, it's really, really difficult.
But would you also say, and I won't shift gears too much, that when that particular athlete won, it actually made money for all the other tours because people played it, all the other companies because people paid attention and played more golf?
Oh yeah. I mean, for definitely. I mean, the attention that golf got, you know, during the Tiger era when Tiger was dominant was good for everybody. But you know, I think it's interesting because I don't think many of us are really feeling that effect had, you know, long-term growth for the sport. I mean, it's still, golf is roughly the same size as it was 10 or 15 years ago in terms of equipment sales. It's roughly the same in terms of participation. So, you know, that's kind of our challenge too, as we said at the beginning of our conversation, it's all of our job to excite people to play more golf and to spend more time in the sport.
Now, the internet has played an interesting role in golf equipment, and specifically releases and things like that.
Yeah.
It used to be a pretty standard thing. You know, you release after the PGA show either every year, every other year. Has the internet ruined equipment releases and or caused too many equipment releases during a calendar year?
I don't think the internet has done that. I think the acceleration of life cycles has just happened in golf because it's happened in every other consumer category there is. That, you know, the best way to kind of stimulate consumption is to create more products, get them in the market, get them out of the market. I mean, the consumer electronics industry has been doing that for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that was just inevitable. I think what the internet has done is it's given a lot more of the power to the consumer to not be controlled or manipulated in the ways that kind of mass more traditional media has, you know, facilitated. So, you know, the consumer today has more information at his or her disposal than they ever have. It gets there faster. And I think, you know, from our standpoint, this is part of, I hope, what people are appreciating about us as we enter into 13 from us. We want to not try to fight against that. We want to actually participate in it. So we want consumers to have more information. We want consumers to feel like that our company is more transparent. We love the fact that that people can talk about Callaway releases now that are coming in the future. I think the double-edged sword of that is when misinformation gets out there, or people are taking pictures of prototypes that aren't even in existence yet, and people comment on things that are, you know, cosmetic in appearance, or not, you know, not final in ways that are detrimental to the, you know, the overall success of the product later, that's not even, you know, associated with how it looks, or even more harmful to us in particular is when it's done in a way that gives our competition ample time to sort of duplicate what's coming. And I remember back in you know, when I wasn't working here and worked it over at TaylorMade, here comes Unfiltered. Before, you know, before the white driver came out, there were some things that were leaked, and one of our competitors just painted up a white driver and put it in the hands of one of their tour players in an effort to kind of stop that, the momentum that, you know, the R11 was going to have.
But the
so that's kind of what you, that's kind of what you don't want to have happen. You want to, you want consumers to participate in your brand, but you definitely don't want the information to get out there that can be used against you by your competition. So, you know, when we, when stuff gets out on the internet and we ask you guys, or, you know, some of the other, big important communities to take it down, it's not because we're necessarily trying to control the messaging, or it certainly isn't from my standpoint. It's more just protecting our uniqueness and ability to do things in a unique fashion that can't be copied or you know, or kind of, you know, repositioned against us.
The irony.
So if it were up to me, like if all of our competitors would sign agreements that they're not going to copy what we do or copy our messaging or any of that, I'd let everybody see everything almost in real time. I think that would be freaking awesome. But I don't think we're going to be able to get them to do that. Do you?
No, I don't. But the irony, what I was saying before, is that other company that imitated the driver, everybody in the world thought he was playing the other driver.
Yeah. So sometimes that backfires too.
Yeah. Now, there's a whole lot of messages coming out about the new, I'm doing finger quotes on the radio, but the new Callaway.
Yeah, I see them.
Coming into Callaway, and you've discussed and you've put out there something called a 5-year war, which, thank God, not too many people are PC, because I can only see you getting complaints about something ridiculous.
I know, and I'm in a military town too, so we were worried about that, but it's all in good fun.
What is the 5-year war, and what does it mean to you?
Well, I think what we were doing here is it's going to take us. We have a plan in the next 5 years to be the, you know, the biggest, dynamic, most innovative golf company in the world again. And we were that, you know, 8 years ago. We've seen our leadership slip in terms of what our success has been in the marketplace. From a brand standpoint, all of the brand metrics that we look at, you know, we're still, you know, really, really healthy from a brand standpoint. We haven't done a good enough job of really differentiating ourselves in the marketplace. And, you know, our goal is to be right back at the top. And so when we say it's a 5-year plan, we have a 5-year plan that's pretty detailed to get right back where we're gonna be. And that began kind of as just more of an internal rallying cry, and we've had some fun with it out on the social world, as we kind of unite our network of Callaway fans and people that are, you know, retailers and reps out there to, you know, understand that this, it's a process. So, you know, year one is there's a plan about year one, and there's a plan about year two, year three, year four, year five. And that's what that means. So when people kind of see that out there, we're more referencing the fact that we want to be more aggressive. We want to be more competitive. We want to have a louder, stronger voice. We want to be, we want people to understand that we're proud of our performance, that we're a changing company. We're evolving. We're listening more to consumers and retailers and, you know, tour players and golfers alike about how we become a different company, how we transform as a company. We're dedicated to being the most connecting, most current, most relevant golf brand. That's our goal. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's definitely not going to happen overnight. There's some, you know, wind in our face a little bit, and, you know, it will take us a little bit of time before we start hitting the downwind, you know, some of the downwind holes. So, do you like that golf metaphor?
Yeah, except
it takes us a while.
The downwind always comes on the par three.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been playing a lot of long par fours into the wind a little bit here in the last two or three years, and we're eager to kind of turn that around. I think there have been a lot of positive signs in the last 4 or 5 months. We've gained market share in the three biggest categories the last 5 months combined, and that's the first time that's happened in 4 years for us. So we're seeing some of the momentum start to shift kind of here in, you know, the first year of our war, and we're excited. The bottom line is we feel like if a strong competitive Callaway company, brand, people pulling, you know, creating awesome products that get people excited about, that, you know, cause our competitors to play defense, to have to look over and wondering what we're doing, is going to be good for everybody. And that's our goal.
Now, we've talked about marketing. We've talked about everything else. The excitement from you guys for the new Callaway is high. What is it about the line of gear that makes you guys excited?
Well, I think what people will see from us, and again, we've touched on this in abstract a little bit in the last half hour of our conversation, but I think what people are going to see from us are, distinct performance advantages over anything that anybody else has. And we, you know, with direct, simple messaging, a lot more authentic, with a lot stronger voice, a lot more competitive voice, and we're going to launch products with a lot of energy in a timely manner. And I think, you know, not the least of which is going to be, you're going to see a lot more tour players playing our product. That, you know, our return to being a world-class brand played by the most passionate players, tour players, better amateurs, all the way down to higher handicappers is going to be noticeable. We have, and it's a lot simpler and a lot clearer. So, you know, when we talked about the iron line being a bunch of different products, you didn't really know what they do. That won't be the case next year. We're going to be a lot simpler and a lot more direct. And we feel for the first time in a long, long time that we've got some key products in some very key categories that they are going to outperform any products that anybody else has like them. And, you know, bottom line, again, we have some of the wind in our face. So, you know, we know that there are going to be consumers that are going to want to try new products from our competition. And we just have a great deal of confidence that if we get into the hands in the hitting bay or out on the golf course, we're going to win. And it's been a long time since we really felt that from top to bottom in our company. And you know, there's some chatter already out on your site, as well as others of people that have seen our new product. And I'm really happy to hear that's been a case. We've shown it to tour players. We've shown it to retailers. We've shown it to some of our testers and, you know, in odds and ends out and about. As we've gone through it, and the answer has kind of been unanimous that people are really, really excited to see the product. It looks different in a lot of different ways. It performs dramatically different than anything we've ever had. And so we feel in year one, we're going to be very, very competitive.
Well, I want to thank Harry for coming on and, not getting too amped up at our listeners. You know, we'll save that for the next show. And for all our listeners that enjoy this, if you have questions you want to ask, send them in. We'll get them back on. We'll drag them back on and, you know, let them answer those as well. So for myself and Harry, we will talk to you guys next week. Stay tuned, everybody.